Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs 28. Let's look at one verse of Scripture, verse 19. The Scripture declares, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." Now, from this parable, we know that the Scriptures declare that there's a work that is to be done. We know that. And it comes with a promised reward of good. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But also this Scripture states that there's a reward of being destitute or running after that which cannot provide that which has been falsely promised. It says, "But he that followeth after vain persons," is in italics there, and shall have poverty. Now let's consider this verse of Scripture for just a moment. The only way we can consider it rightly, and that is in the light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that all Scripture, now if we just want to just talk about hardworking man and somebody goes out and does his job and he's just, you know, he's doing a good job and he's going to produce some fruit and he's going to have, if that's all that it is, then we're done. We're done. But as this is concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the Lord give us some understanding. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. He that has his work faithfully done. Now I say faithfully done because looking up this word, tilleth, when you look at that word, you look it up, and this is what it actually means: labor, work, or to do work. But it also describes in the definition the worker's attitude. One who serves. It's a work, but one who works for another, serves another by labor, and serves as a subject. Not just going out there and working, but one that does it as a servant. A willing servant. A servant. That's what he's talking about. That one who is tilling, the servant who is tilling, knowing that the definition means servant, I could not help but think Romans 1:1. Paul just brought this up last week. A servant of Jesus Christ. James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. These men, called of God, taught something of their calling, recognized and gladly, thankfully, willingly bowed to the fact, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer sees themselves just like this. These were men called of God by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, set apart as servants, but truly in relation to their character as a servant. All of creation is said to be a servant. Now, I want you to hold your place here. Just turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 89 to 91. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. The scripture declares in Job 12:16, with him is strength and wisdom, the deceived and the deceiver are his. So in light of the Lord, the creator of all things, God Almighty, everything and everybody, according to his wisdom, serves the will and purpose of Almighty God by his ruling and his overruling sovereign power in the accomplishment of his good pleasure and purpose to save his people from their sins. Everybody is a servant of the Lord. Everybody, everything. This the world, these trees, this everything is a servant of the Lord. But some, by the grace of God, have been made willing. Bow to it. Some unwilling servants, but they're still the servants. Deceived and the deceiver. They're the Lord. All creation serves him. And though all creation is declared to be the servant of the Lord, as I said, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Those who have been loved of the Lord with an everlasting love. And this remnant, because of God's grace, is going to be saved. If the Lord had not left us a small remnant, we'd all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, here we are today. Just a remnant. Just a few people. But thanks be unto God. God Almighty has been pleased to call some people out of darkness and made them willing in the day of his power. And these that are called of God, the chosen of God's elect, called by his grace, the scripture declares in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. Somebody said, well, I don't know what my calling of the Lord is. Faithful is he that calleth you. He'll do it. You do what you're doing right here. You come, you sit under the sound of the gospel. You listen to what God has to say. And God will take care of his people. He's gonna call his people out of death. But here's one thing that I noticed immediately. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. Now, do you know how we would normally think that? Think of that statement. He that tilleth his land. Well, I've got a piece of land, and I'm going to go out there and work my land. Well, let's be reminded of something we just looked at. The earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all they that dwell in it. Well, I've got this piece of property, and I bought it, and said, the earth is the Lord's. Well, it's passed down. I inherited the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. So when we, scriptures look at it, we see he that tilleth his land. Whose land is it? It's his land. Let's look at this in light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to the promise of this scripture. He that tilleth his land as a willing servant, made so by the grace of God. Called by grace, kept by grace, led by grace, taught by grace. He that tilleth his land in whatever capacity the Lord puts upon him. Here's the promise. Shall have plenty of bread. Where do you think I'm going with that bread? You're right. That's exactly right. Just exactly right. He shall have plenty of bread. The bread of heaven himself. He that tilleth his land, called of God, kept of God. Now I want you to hold your place there. We'll come back in just a second. But I want you to turn with me to Matthew 20. Matthew, he that tilleth his land, he that is in this world doing just exactly what you're doing right here, sitting here listening to what God has to say in his scriptures. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. You think the Lord will guide and direct his people? You think the steps of a good man are going to be ordered by the Lord? You think you've got to try to figure out what you're going to do for God? God will direct. God will direct. Don't worry. He that tilleth his land. Matthew chapter 20. This is a beautiful passage that was given by our Lord. Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Now, this is a beautiful revelation here concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his glory, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a man that householder. And what he did, he went out, the scripture says, verse 2, when he had agreed with the laborers that he had hired early in the morning, he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. I found out that a penny a day was the fair wage of a soldier, a Roman soldier. It was a good pay. It was a fair and honest, honorable pay. And he went out about the third hour, about 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour, about noon, and about the ninth hour, about 3 in the afternoon, did likewise. About the 11th hour, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, about quitting time, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but an hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now, let me ask you something. Did not the Lord go out? Did he not agree with them all to give them a penny? Yes. And what was the reward given to every one of them that worked? A penny. Our scripture is setting forth the reward, the plenty of bread. Back in Proverbs 28, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. And what was the plenty of bread in the Lord's parable? A penny. What did the penny set forth? The Lord Jesus Christ. Life in him. This is the reward for tilling the land in the kingdom of the Lord. So in light of the receiving the plenty of bread, the bread of heaven himself, concerning that reward, who will receive more? When we stand before God and hear the Lord of glory say unto those on his right hand, the sheep, enter in. Enter into the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Who will receive more? They'll all get saved. We'll have Christ. Who will receive more? The Apostle Paul, chosen, called of God to till as a servant in his land, in his kingdom. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 23, 27. Now, 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Now, this is some things that the Apostle Paul was called to suffer when he was in the kingdom, working, called of God to till, to labor as a servant. What did the Lord call him to do? He called him to preach the gospel. What happened? Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night, a day. I've been in the deep, in journeyings, often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. What do you have to do? He went through a life of suffering. Suffering. He said, they beat me. I was in the water. I was in prison. I was hated. I was just. What did the Lord call him to do? He called him at the hour of the Lord's choosing. Whatever hour that was, whenever God called him according to God's good timing, he called him. About the 5th hour, the Lord was pleased to call a thief on the cross. He called him about the 5th hour. That quitting time. That thief's life was about over. What did he call that thief to do? This is what I want you to do as you till in my kingdom. You'll be nailed to a cross or hung on a cross. He wasn't nailed. Hung on a cross. And you're going to rail on me at first. But then according to my will and my purpose, my power, I'm going to give you a new heart. Did I give you a new heart? When I give you a new heart, when I remove that heart of stone and I give you a heart of flesh, then you will say to me, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, will you remember me? That's what the Lord called him to do. Now let me ask you this. Who's going to receive more? Paul the apostle or the thief on the cross? They're both going to get a penny. That's what they're going to get. They're going to receive a plenty of bread. They're going to have Christ. they'll have it all. Brethren, the Scripture declares, he that tilleth his land has nothing to do when God calls him. The Lord calls him. Paul the Apostle said, when it pleased God, who called me by his grace, reveal his Son to me. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. It doesn't matter. If God is pleased to call one at one time in his life and another at another time, they're all going to get Christ. They'll have it all. They'll have it all. Heirs of God. That thief is just as much an heir of God as Paul the Apostle, as Abraham, Isaac, Moses, all of them. We'll all have him. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain, and again, persons in italics, it was added by the interpreters. He that followeth after vain, vanity, shall have poverty enough. And that word enough right there is the same word as plenty. He'll have poverty. He that followeth after vanity. He that followeth after nothing, nothingness. He's going to have exactly what he sowed. Nothing. Proverbs 12. Turn back over to Proverbs 12 for a second. I'll wrap this up. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 11. Proverbs 12, 11 says almost identically the same. It's just a little difference in the wording. Proverbs 12, 11 says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons, or he that followeth, again, vanity, is void of understanding. He's void of understanding, number one, of who God is. He's void of understanding God, who is just and holy and does as he will. Well, it's not fair that Paul had to suffer all this and that thief had to. He's ignorant. He's void of understanding of who God is. He's void of understanding concerning the righteousness which God is going to accept, the righteousness of Christ. Man by nature believes that he's going to stand before God, as in Matthew 7, 21, and said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We've done many marvelous. We cast out death. We. He's void of understanding of the righteousness of God, the obedience toward God. He's void of understanding concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Man by nature thinks that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save the whole world. He came into this world to save his people from their sins. Who said that? He did. You call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. What did he pray in John 17, verse 9? What did he pray concerning the world? He said, I have given thy word unto those that you've given me out of the world. I pray for them. Who? John 17, 9 says, I pray for those that you gave me. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. I don't pray. He said, I pray not for the world. I don't pray for the world. But I pray for those that you've given me. They're ignorant. They're void of understanding who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And they're void of the understanding of salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. I've always been told that salvation was up to me. And it was up to my decision. It was up to me of my baptism, of my walking down the aisle. I thought, salvation is of the Lord. Almighty God's going to call his people. John 6, 37, the Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know what that means? That means that everybody chosen in Christ, from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. All of them are going to come. Salvation is sure. There's no if in salvation. Salvation is sure. When the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary, not one drop of it was wasted. If he shed his blood to save men from their sins and they go to hell, he failed. He failed. Salvation's of the Lord. He that tilleth in his land shall have plenty of bread. He's going to have Christ. Oh, may the Lord bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come.